Alright, ladies and gentlemen, taking it a little slow, because you know why? We're about to get crazy, but just so you know, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You guys are listening to Carolyn Joe! Show! Hey, man, my name is Joe Carabay. I'm a filmmaker, photographer, a writer. I'm definitely in the band Monday Mistress, but today, and only today, and every other week, I am a podcaster, and across from me, and across from Estrella Studios, still in her chamber of sound, her chamber of isolated sound, your setup just gets more crazy as the years go by. It just seems like we just keep things going on. But the wonderful, super talented, always exuberant, always with the best mind in the business for everything, her name is Karen Bilewski. How you doing, Carolyn?
I'm doing great.
Great.
I'm behind this isolated sound booth looking at you through a small rectangle, and that's my life.
Those small rectangles.
I can just see you in a small rectangle.
It reminds me of that scene in The Watchmen where Dr. Manhattan is being created, and like the door in that chamber closes behind him, and he becomes, you know, his atoms get split and he becomes Mr. Dr. Manhattan. Maybe that's what's going to happen.
I hope I'm not a naked blue man.
I hope not. But you know what? You are Carolyn's news. Let's kick it.
Oh my gosh, my news. Okay, well, we got some major... Joe, can I get some echo? Some major announcements all about... I'm going to dedicate this news solely to AwesomeCon announcements because you guys, guess what? AwesomeCon is in less than 2 weeks. Can you imagine that? If you didn't know, now you know. And it's June 3rd, 4th, and 5th. It's a 3-day extravaganza in Washington, D.C. at the Washington, D.C. Convention Center. And AwesomeCon is, quite frankly, just straight up awesome. It's a convention that has everything that's awesome. There's TV shows, video games, comic book artists, a whole bunch of craft people, awesome food, awesome sauce, just the awesomeness.
A bunch of awesome sauce.
Just straight up awesomeness.
That's just awesome sauce.
Yeah, and awesome cosplay. There's so much going on. Like I just looked at the schedule and it's pretty impressive. It's pretty massive, and I found like so many things that I would love to see, but it's just so much to see. In fact, it's so much to see that, first of all, not only are Joe and I going to have a table there with Curl Studio, our table number is N5, and we're going to be there all weekend long.
N5.
N5, and that's right near the kids zone, the K zone, as they like to call it. Yes, right near the kids section, we are at table N5, and we will be there all 3 days of the show. But not only that, we also have 6 panels. Joe, can I get some echo on that?
We have 6?
We have 6 panels, and that is pretty amazing because we will be all over the place at New York Con, or at Awesome Con. We will be all over the place. New York is later in the fall, but this coming weekend is not Awesome Con, but then the following weekend is Awesome Con. So again, it's June 3rd, 4th, and 5th. So let's run down all the panels, because like I said, there's 6 of them, and we want to make sure.
Sorry about that.
What's up, DJ Joe?
Sorry about that. I was trying to figure out what happened, but the echo knocked out the bed.
Okay, I won't ask for echo ever again. Ever again. All right, so.
I'm not perfect, but I try.
Okay. Okay, guys, we're going to be at table N5 at AwesomeCon. And not only that, let's just run it down by each day. So our big announcement here, since this is the Carolyn and Joe Show podcast, and we are so professional, we have professional equipment and all that.
Well, we're live. We're always live.
I mean, we're live, and we don't edit out any of our shows, so that's professional. So on Friday, June 3rd, this is our big, big announcement. Friday, June 3rd at AwesomeCon from 6 to 7 p.m. in room 150, we will be doing the Carolyn and Joe Show podcast. And as always, we always have a special guest at every Awesome Con. And this one I am very excited about because I remember the very first Awesome Con. He actually came to our table and I talked to him for quite a while because Joe was missing from the table and I was like, oh my god, Joe! Out of all the moments to like leave the table, because we're usually at the table. Mr. Phil Lamar walked by and started chatting with me, and he is really, like, seriously, he is, I'm not all about all the famous people and all that, but he is the nicest famous person that I have met. Him and Jon Stewart, I'll straight up say that, and I've met a lot of famous people, I feel like, and those two really gave me the time of day. So, we will be chatting with Phil Lamar. I've noticed the music has gone down
Phil
again.
Phil Lamar.
Phil Lamar, you guys. Phil Lamar. Phil Lamar. You guys might remember him from Mad TV. I think that was my first ever exposure to Phil Lamar was Mad TV. Because I remember being a kid, knowing who Phil Lamar was, watching Mad TV and enjoying it. And I might have even done some impersonations of like his UPS guy. I remember like being all jittery with my brother. And we're like, yes, we're watching Mad TV. You're watching Mad TV. We were totally into that, and so I knew who Phil Lamar was at a very young age. And not only that, he was in Pulp Fiction. He was in the stage show of the Pee Wee Herman show, and we actually saw him in L.A. We made a trip all the way out to L.A. just to see the Pee Wee Herman show. And I hardly ever go on vacation, so that was, like, a big deal for me. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of Phil Lamar. I think he's great, and we're going to be talking to him live, and I'm very excited about that. He is somebody that I want to continue chatting with. So again, that's Friday, June 3rd from 6 to 7 p.m. in room 150 at AwesomeCon. So moving on with the AwesomeCon schedule, we have 5 more panels left to go through. On Saturday, June 4th from noon to 1, there's going to be a Kickstarter panel that I was asked to be on, and that's going to involve Arcia Rosegar and also Rafer Roberts, and that's in room 145B. And also, I just found out since while I'm doing the schedule that I'm double booked. So I'm also doing on Saturday, June 4th, from 12:30 to 1:30. So I'm going to have to probably do, I'm going to straight up call it right now, if I can. I'm going to probably do only the first half hour of the Kickstarter panel and then peace out of there. And then at 12:30 to 1:30.
You'll probably only do the first 15 minutes, actually. You gotta get to the panel before 15
minutes. The rooms are right next to each other.
Oh, okay.
So in room 144, right next to it, I was asked to be on a panel called How to Break into Comics and Survive. And that is with Heidi McDonald from The Beat. She is pretty much, I'm pretty sure she's like a very much top comics journalist.
Wait, so is that right after that panel?
Well, they overlap by half an hour.
Wait, the Heidi one overlaps?
Yeah.
I thought it was the Kickstarter one that overlaps.
Yeah, they do. They both overlap.
They both overlap?
Kickstarter's from noon to 1, and then the Heidi panel's from 12:30 to 1:30.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I just went on the site. Hmm. It wasn't like, I don't know, man. It wasn't earlier.
Isn't that a triple book then?
I don't know yet. I'm going to have to figure it out.
Everyone just wants part of some of that Carolyn. Some of that Carolyn on the panel.
Like I said, I'm going to try my best. Like, I can definitely do, like, probably the first 25 minutes and then hop into the next room. So, you know, I'll help out when I can, but I can't be everywhere. So, also continuing with that day, Saturday, June 4th, from 4 to 4:45, I will be in the K-Zone, in the kid zone. And I will be there with my demo called Create Your Own Superhero Symbol.
All right.
That is pretty fun because I've done that at several conventions. And it's really fun to work with the kids and see how imaginative they are to create their symbol. It's really fun. We start out by picking some words about ourselves so we know what stuff we'd like. And we try to make that into some symbolic art so that people can somehow manage to create their own superhero from what they like, and it's really fun. I like chilling out with those kids. So, 2 more left, you guys. I know it's rough. Okay, Saturday, June 4th.
Saturday.
This is your panel, Joe. From 8:15 to 9:15 in the p.m. at night, in room 149, We have awesome filmmakers making it happen. So can you tell me and tell the audience more about that panel? Because you got some different panelists this year. Because you've done it last year.
Well, we definitely did the Awesome Con, the Awesome Filmmakers panel last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I feel like it was such a success, and I feel like the convention thought it was such a success that we had to bring it back because it's such a integral group. Because you know, Kevin Smith is there on Friday night. So he's a filmmaker. So we're like, let's just keep this filmmaker thing happening. You know, it's not all about, you know, Awesome Con is all about, you know, things that are awesome. It's not just superheroes. It's not just cosplay, not just celebrities, but it's also it's awesome to create things.
And not only that, so, you are the official filmmaker of Awesome Con because you have been doing their commercials for the past
so
few years.
I've been booked to direct the commercials. So I felt like maybe I'm the right person to go to bring in filmmakers, into Awesome Con. So
do you know who you're bringing in this year?
I do know who I'm bringing in this year. But the thing is, this time the names aren't as easy for me to pronounce. So I'm sorry if I messed them up.
You're gonna have to learn that before the panel.
Usually
you know
I'd have them in front of my face. But the director of Try, the award-winning movie Try, which also I took part in the making of.
You're a creative supervisor.
Jay Jameson, who was also on this panel, on this podcast before several times, is gonna be a panelist. Kevin Sampson, the host of Picture Lock and also another filmmaker and producer as well. Kevin Sampson is gonna be a panelist. Kunitaro Oi, who was also a director, photography, cinematographer, and also a guest on this show, on the Carolyn Joe show, is also going to be there. Drew Boldick is also going to be there. He's finishing up his feature film, Assassinat. He also did The Taint. Science Academy? It's a tough one. I just saw that. It's a pretty he makes amazingly crazy films, I'm going to tell you what. And we also have the director of the DC Webfest, Otessa. I'm going to just brutalize this name. But just look around. I'm not even going
to
try.
But you know what, though? You need to ask them how to pronounce it before you do this live.
Yeah. I'm going to have it. Next week, I'm going to have these names properly pronounced for you. And I'm going to have those attached to this, too. But just know I got those first names right.
Okay.
They get a little challenging sometimes.
That sounds pretty cool.
But it should be grand. It should be, you know, it should be a great thing to see, to chill out with the nightlife, getting ready for the nighttime experience of Awesome Con.
And okay, so one more panel, guys. So on Sunday, June 5th, from 12:30 PM to 1:15 PM in room 149. We have The Other Side of the Table, Lessons from Creators, which is a really amazing panel that's all about being on the other side of the table, not just being an attendee at shows, but being an exhibitor. So a lot of people ask me all the time, like, oh, how do you do this? I'm an artist too. I would love to make my own books. I would love to like sell my own stuff and stuff like that. And this is all what it's like from the point of view from selling your own comics. Because, you know, making your comics is one thing, and you can, you know, sit in your basement or in your small desk and all that at home and make your comic, and that's all fine and dandy, but if you're not getting that comic into people's hands, that's a whole nother level that can't necessarily be taught in a way. It's like you kind of just got to go out there and see what works for you. What works for someone might not work for someone else, but we will be talking about what has worked, what hasn't worked. Maybe it will inspire some ideas for yourself, and in the future you can exhibit. And for that panel, we do have videos online of previous ones, just so you know. We've had some in New York and I think one at Awesome Con before, so definitely check that out. But this year we got totally new panelists because I want to make the show really fresh. And so Joe will be moderating this panel, and I'll be on the panel, and I'll be bringing along Mr. Brian Turner and Miss Dawn Griffin. These are both fantastic artists who have been making their rounds at several conventions, and that's how I met them. So we all are, I guess, veterans of doing, I guess mostly the East Coast Comic Con. I think Brian might do some San Diego action, but yeah, we've been around the block and we've seen how it's like at several shows, because each show is different. That's another thing. Each show is different. You can't guarantee that one show is going to be just like the other. I think all of them are very different in their own way. Like, you know, they have the same type of setup sometimes, but the show is different, and then maybe the attendees are a little different, or the town's a little different. You know, it's just one of those things you got to try out and get the feel for. But I really love the Other Side of the Table panel, because that was, you know, my brainchild, so it's been growing, and it's fun to be able to present that at AwesomeCon. So those are all of our panels. I mean, that's a lot. If you put that all together, you know, that's like 6 hours worth of Carolyn and Joe content at AwesomeCon.
I might also add that, you know, these conventions, they're getting really popular, and I've been noticing that these panels are filling up fast, so definitely get there as soon as you possibly can. Every one of these panels has the potential to really get packed. So tell all your friends, get there early. Tell everyone you know to get there early and get a good seat, because these things are going to be awesome, they're going to be entertaining, and you should definitely get your spot while you can.
Yeah, good to know. But I'll just do like quick rundown, not with all the details. But so we're going to be at Table N5 on Friday. We have the Carolyn and Joe Show podcast with our special guest, Mr. Phil Lamar. That's from 6 to 7 p.m. So you guys can get out of work on Friday and come into the D.C. Convention Center. Maybe get out of work a little bit early so you can get in to talk with Phil Lamar. Then on Saturday, we have the Kickstarter panel, and then How to Break into Comics and Survive. Then we also have Create Your Own Superhero Symbol with me in the K-Zone. And then Joe has the Awesome Filmmakers panel at night on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we have only one panel. We have the Other Side of the Table lessons from creators. So that's, you know, our Saturday's pretty damn packed.
Well, and who knows, you know, before the show starts, maybe we'll have some surprises for you too. Who knows where else I'm going to end up being.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen.
I just want to preface this whole news segment that's running extra, extra long because it's tremendous news. I want to preface the whole thing that all the room numbers, all the times I've announced, all of that, that could change, because I think it's already changed once last time I looked at it.
So we'll keep you posted. That's what's going to happen. But we know those things are happening maybe around that time.
Yeah, maybe the room might change. Maybe the time might change. Maybe something might change. Maybe there might be something added. I don't know. There's going to be... That's what it is right now at this very moment, but it might change.
Yeah.
Subject to change.
But we'll be there. The most important part is that we're going to be at N5.
Yes, we will definitely be there.
Carol Studio will be there at N5. It'll be me, it'll be Carolyn, and it'll be Carolyn and me.
Yes.
Who knows? Maybe we'll have special guests show up at our table at random times.
I mean, honestly, I can tell you guys, I think we're going to have a special guest at our table.
Probably are going to have a special guest.
But, you know, we'll announce it a little later. Once we get everything officially confirmed. But yes, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be AwesomeCon, and I better get prepared, man, because I'm like, damn, I mean, that's pretty busy.
I got to like get mentally prepared. You know, there's a lot of mind stretching that's going to happen, because you got to perform, then you got to hustle, you know what I mean? You got to go back. You got to make sure all these things are coming together.
Yeah. And not only that, like, I normally actually don't, you know, go crazy for the celebrities or anything, but I will say I'm excited about actually three celebrities this year.
Who's that?
Well, first of all, I am excited about Will Friedle, because I, for like the past couple of years, have been asking the show to bring him onto the show. So I was like, oh man, we need to get Will Friedle, because he does some awesome voices for several cartoons. Plus, he was on Boy Meets World, which is one of my favorite shows, straight up. He was Eric Matthews. And he's also the voice of Ron Stoppable from Kim Possible. He's the voice of Terry McGinnis from Batman Beyond. I mean,
he was also the Blue Beetle. He was the Blue Beetle in The Brave and the Bold in Batman.
Yeah, so it's just really exciting that he's going to be in DC. I've never, you know, met him before. I've never seen him come anywhere close in other comic shows. So to me, this is like great. And then also I'm super excited about Phil Lamar, because ever since the first AwesomeCon, I think Phil Lamar has been at every AwesomeCon.
I think so.
And I know that he's a really good guy, and he's going to be fun, and I'm really excited about doing this very live podcast with with Phil Lamar.
It's amazing.
Friday.
It's amazing to have Phil Lamar on the show because he's a guy whose work spans like
Oh, it does.
Yeah, it
does. Because I remember watching him when I was younger.
So there's so much that we can talk about, but it's almost like he's done so much
and so much variety.
So much different work. That, you know, between you and I, it's like you almost have to have like a game, a battle plan of like, where do we begin? You know, that's like, where do we really begin when it comes to talking about Phil Lamar? You know, I mean, we can talk about his stage life. Can we talk about him behind the mic, acting in front of the camera, his comedy stuff? You know what I mean? He's part of the DC universe. He's part of Pulp Fiction. How's it working with Terrence? Like, there's so many different worlds. What is his prep? You know, like. Almost people need to help us out. And if they have questions, because, you know, the thing is, though, he's not doing any other one-on-one shows or panels.
He does have a Q&A, I think.
But it's like a joint. It's a joint thing.
Yeah, I think it's a joint one.
So this is one of those. This is like a special engagement. A special engagement with Phil Lamar. So, yeah. Hosted by the Carolyn and Joe Show.
I'll straight up put out there, if you're listening right now and you have a question for Phil Lamar, just send it via Twitter, or you can also email me at info@curls-studio.com, and we'll read your questions.
We'll probably make an event page too, you know?
I mean, yeah, definitely. I just want to see what people, like, are curious about him, you know? Like, I don't want to get into, like, you know, obviously his personal life, but something that you don't know about, like, his process or something that's not on IMDb, that's not just, like, factual.
And also, that's the one thing that's really important to people know, that what's the difference between the Carolyn and Joe Show and just a normal Q&A is that, you know, this is a person, you know, I feel like with Q&As, it's cool. You get to go out, take those moments, like, from the audience. They ask those questions. Mm-hmm. But when it's the Carolyn and Joe Show, the difference is you're on the Carolyn and Joe Show. This is now you're in a personal environment. You know, it's like you're pretty much shooting with us. You know, you're pretty much it's like you're hanging out. You know,
definitely. So I'm really excited about his career, and his career, man, is pretty darn awesome. Like, just like we were mentioning, the variety and everything from like the comedy to the stage to the voice. Oh my gosh, he's got so many great talents and so much overlapping. It's great. So I'm really excited about him. And then the third celebrity that I'm really excited about is Ron Perlman, because he's Hellboy.
Oh yeah, Ron Perlman's gonna be there.
I mean, it's Hellboy.
It's Hellboy.
It's Hellboy.
It's Hellboy. But you know what? We're massive
fans.
And
so much more.
We're massive fans of Guillermo del Toro, and Guillermo del Toro is pretty much chosen. You know how you have Tim Burton, his actor representation is
Johnny Depp.
Del Toro's is Ron Perlman. So it's interesting to see to almost, you know, you got him there. You know, besides Del Toro, this is like, you know, you have Ron Perlman who has his work is really spanned. He's a tough dude. He's awesome.
You know who should come to AwesomeCon? I'm just like pitching this now because I'm in that mindset. But they should get the guy who plays Abe. Because he does a lot of, like, other stuff, too.
Yeah.
I remember I looked him up on IMDb after I saw Hellboy. I was like, whoa, that guy's, like, pretty versatile. That guy's pretty rad. I don't know all the details on him. I don't even remember. I think his name's, like, Doug something. But I don't really know his name. But, yeah, I think he would be fun. All the Hellboy cast. That would be cool. But, yeah. But this year, Ron Perlman. So I'm really excited about those. I'm really excited about all those guys, you know. And there's also so much more because they also have. There's like so many awesome, great guests too. Even from like Firefly, even.
Yeah.
Like.
Well, you got Summer's going to be there.
Yeah,
Summer Glau's going to be there.
And the Monica.
No, she's not going to be there.
What? She canceled?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't.
So it's just
that.
Summer by herself.
Okay, I didn't realize she canceled. But yeah, Summer, she's cool. So that's exciting if you're a Firefly fan.
There's a lot of Doctor Who people. You've got
what?
You got Harry Potter guests are going to be there. It's tough. There's so many guests, and I'm just so bad at names at this point.
Yeah, the guest list is pretty tremendous. Like, and in a way, it's actually kind of, I think it's more than New York Comic Con. It's pretty loaded.
Yeah, people from Star Trek movie is going to be there.
Bill Nye, the science guy, is going to be there. A lot of people are excited about that because I noticed this year in programming, they put a lot of science stuff. So it's cool to have that, or the STEM also, the science, technology, what does the E stand for? Engineering, mathematics, STEM. Yeah. So that's, it's funny that they have these acronyms now, because they didn't have STEM like when we were growing up, but now it's like a huge, it's a huge, huge, huge academic thing. So that's exciting too, that they're bringing in like true learning. And in addition to like all this other like sci-fi crazy stuff, that, you know, they're making it real. And I'm excited about Awesome Gone. Yes.
You know, but also at the same time, there's this big question mark for me. Is just like any other conventions, like how is it going to be? You know, because they try to do something different each year. So I'm always excited about what's the setup going to be? How's the layout going to be? Where's the, you know what I mean? The turnout, everyone knows about Awesome Con now. So it's like building up steam.
I think it's going to, seriously though, every year the show has gotten like triple, quadruple, even like bigger, right? I think this year is just going to be massive. I think there's just going to be a lot of people there and just a big show. It's just going to get bigger and bigger. I don't see the show stopping. It's just like a massive, it's just like a massive show that's getting awesomer and awesomer. Cause that's, I don't know. It's a big show. And I even know a lot of people that haven't been to a comic show that they're coming this year to Awesome Con.
That's big. That's big.
I mean, I think they're definitely drawing in new people that don't necessarily read comics, or maybe they read like a handful. Maybe they just know about Walking Dead and then they, you know, they want to come in. So I think DC, I've been saying for years, DC has been like craving this. It's the nation's capital. It's going to be huge. Okay. So I feel like we went through all that Awesome Con stuff.
We're probably going to get even
more into it. And
my mind will probably be even more straighter, because right now I've been doing a lot of traveling, trying to get this podcast in. So if I seem a little out of it, it's probably because I'm not out of it. It's just probably because I'm thinking ahead.
Yeah.
That's how it is.
Well, you did a lot of driving. You worked some film production all last week. And then, like, you had to drive back. And then we went to Virginia Beach this past weekend for Tidewater Comic Con, which was really great. I had not been to that show before. And Saturday, all the exhibitors did very well from what I've heard on Saturday. So that was really exciting.
Yeah. So to put things in sort of perspective at that same point, it's like pretty much for me, the week looked like starting last Monday, it was like, you know, band practice, which is band practice. You know, people think, oh, you're just playing music. Band practice gets pretty tiring. It's a pretty tiring thing. Not because it's not boring or anything like that. Just a lot of energy is used up. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, went to Roanoke, and I've never even been. Roanoke, Virginia is not really a place that I've ventured into.
I think you've been there before,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, I have remembered in my history of it, of going to Roanoke, but I can't conceptualize in my head what Roanoke really was.
Yeah.
But it is, it's a small town. You know, it has its, I'm not really quite sure what it's really known for. I was asking the people I was with, I was like, so what is Roanoke known for? And, you know, Brian was there. He didn't have an answer.
But also, but you're there for work. It's not like you're there to like explore as much.
But you know, you try to.
Yeah.
You try to. And one of the things I saw a lot of was Pepsi. No, not Pepsi. Dr. Pepper. And I was starting to think that, like, is there a Dr. Pepper factory down in Roanoke? So I kept on seeing like these Dr. Pepper signs, like factory type of signs in Roanoke, Virginia. And it made me sort of feel like, wonder that. I was like, is that what this town is known for? Is Dr. Pepper? So, I, you know, for some reason, like, whenever we had, like, a meal, I was like, should I get a Dr. Pepper? I don't even remember what I was saying to Brian, who I was driving with, and it was like, I don't even remember how a Dr. Pepper tastes. So long. And then now this is, like, kickstarted my mind. I was like, maybe I should have a Dr. Pepper.
So did you ever research to find out if Roanoke is the town of Dr. Pepper?
No, if it is, it should be flat out. But I saw it everywhere. So I'd like, maybe that's what Roanoke is known for, is Dr. Pepper Town. You know?
Research it.
But it is, I mean, it's tough. It is sort of like a small town, and for what I saw, things were spread out. It has sort of like, you know, like a you know, humble small town feel to it.
Yeah.
They do have like their downtown area. But yeah, like whenever we were done, we were done like late at night. So nothing was ever open, and you know, it's interesting because, you know, it's late at night. Just get into your hotel. You still want to eat something because we need to eat something.
Because you need to survive.
You need to survive. So, like, we're trying to talk to, like, the concierge or the person at the lobby of the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady that we had was like an old lady. It was like sort of like hunchback, but I guess maybe that's how old ladies were. But you know, you throw on the charm just to get some answers from them.
Mm-hmm.
If you want some answers from anyone, just throw on the charm. And we really wanted something to eat, and we're like, so excuse me, miss, so what is there anything open right now for food? And of course they're like, yeah, it's not, you know, just like nothing really, nothing, everything's closed. It's like almost midnight, 11:30 at this point. I was like, of course there's nothing open. And I was like, is there anything that's 24 hours? And she was like, the Kroger. The Kroger might be open. And in my head, I was like, what? And, you know, she was like, yeah, they got the deli meat area. I was like, okay, I guess we should venture out over to that. I mean, take in consideration when you're driving around in this Roanoke area, it's like really dark. It's like wooded. But then again, they still got like one of the reminders of how far we've gone in society. Even if we're in a small town like that,
mm-hmm.
you can still rely on the three dominant franchises. And that would be PetSmart, Target, and Best Buy.
Yeah.
Was still there, strong, representing strong.
So can I interject here? I don't think that Roanoke has anything to do with Dr. Pepper, because I just quickly looked it up and it said that it was originated in Waco, Texas.
Okay, but maybe there's a factory there.
But maybe Roanoke just like really loves Dr. Pepper.
Maybe they just really love Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
I never actually even found out about that. I didn't have a chance to get any Dr. Pepper because like when we were searching for food and we end up looking like at the Kroger, and for some reason, you know, it's like 11 o'clock at night in a small town. You know what I mean? A small wooded town. You know, like just like small, like I guess urban. I don't know if it's urban or like what do you call that type of town where, you know, it's just like trees and houses.
Rural.
Yeah. Rural, like in a rural town. You don't really expect a lot of people to be hanging out at 11:30 at the Kroger. But you know what? There's a lot of people hanging out at that Kroger at midnight.
I mean, maybe
11:30,
that's
man.
The only place that's open. So the whole town's going to be hanging out at the Kroger.
We were definitely debating because the lady was definitely pushing like, yeah, go to the deli meats. The deli area is definitely going to be open. You get a sandwich there. It'd be great. We got there, closed. And I was like, what the hell? Now I'm hungry. You know what I mean? And I'm trying real hard not to get any fast food. Not any fast food. Because like, you know, during the shoot sometimes things are going on and they're like, here's some Chick-fil-A and here's some fast food. And I'm like, I really don't want to have fast food. Especially
because you're trying to be healthy.
Yeah, because you get a little sluggish. And I was like, I don't want to, because when I was looking around, you just had a Wendy's. You had like a Taco Bell and all these things, and like a Burger King. I haven't been inside of a Burger King
like
forever.
Real food though.
But I don't want to. I don't want to ever go into those places. So we like went to the Yelp. Actually, the one thing I did was I went to. I do this a lot now. Instead of going to the Yelp or anything like that, I just go to the Google that says like, and I type in restaurants near me, that are still open, and then of course everything closed. But then there's this one place that was pointed out that was still open, that said that was 24 hours, and it was the Steak and Shake. Never heard of the Steak and Shake before.
See, but I don't know if that's even good for you either.
But see,
I don't
think Brian was pitching it.
No, there's like no restaurant that's really open past, let's say, 11 p.m. that's actually good for you.
Brian pitched it to me, and he was like, yeah, you know, it's like diner food. I was like, oh, so it's like a diner. That's what I was looking for. Maybe they have like a Silver Bullet diner somewhere, and Steak and Shake was the closest thing I can conceptualize. I'd be like, he's like, yeah, it's like diner stuff. Okay. And then we went up there, and, you know, I'm expecting it to be 24 hours, and we walk up to the door, and it's locked. The door is freaking locked. And I look on it, and the sign says, we're not a 24-hour restaurant anymore. Our doors will close at 11 o'clock, but our drive-in will be open until 2. And I'm like, damn it, 11:30. But I still saw people in there. You know, you always get tricked when you see people in there. And I guess they were just about to close. Stragglers still inside. And I was looking at the food. I was looking at the food while I walked by. I was like, oh, it looks so good. You know, you're like, it's like that Tiny Tim thing when you're like, I want to see some of that.
Look
I want to have some of that.
How good these other people have it.
Yeah, so like, well, I was like, okay, I guess we go to the drive-thru. We go to the drive-thru because there was already a line at the drive-thru. But like while we got there, they like dispersed. Go up to the drive-thru. Already really hungry at this time. Now we're like being teased all over the place about what we can eat. You know, and I don't want to, you know, all I saw was still like the fast food joints around me, looking directly at like a Hardee's and all this stuff. Those are delicious, but maybe not. You know, we're already at a Steak and Shake. Mm-hmm. Steak and Shake. Milkshakes. You're like, yeah, we need to get a good milkshake.
Yeah, because that's good for you.
Yeah, but you know, it's delicious. But then
good in a bad way.
Yeah. But then so we go up there, we're ready to order. We're looking, you know, taking that moment to look at the menu. You know, you don't have a lot of time. And then we're like, you know, roll down the window, stick your head out there, and then you're like, excuse me. And then the first thing the person utters is like, the first thing the person says is, "Sorry, our system is down and rebooting. We can't take your order right now." And I was like, "What?" You know, and for some reason, being in a small town of Roanoke really brought my sort of smartassness out. I kept on getting notes, personal notes, not like, you know, paper notes, but all day people kept on making comments like, and these are people who've never met me before, and you know, I've never met them before. They kept on saying, like, I like this Joe, man. Someone needs to have a show about Joe. The stuff he says is freaking crazy. It's awesome. I've never
small town Joe.
Small town Joe. That people kept on saying that. Like,
have that show.
I was like, this guy is hilarious. Even like the lady at the hotel, she kept on saying like this guy. I used to know a guy like you in college. It's a funny guy. We're one of those funny guys. I don't even know if I was doing anything that was extra smartass or witty. I was just doing my normal sort of witty charm. I guess because I was just like in a small town, I just had to make a comment about everything. But at the same time, we're at the Steak and Shake. There's like, hey, sorry, sir, they're gonna shut down. It'll probably be 10 to 20 minutes until we get this up and going. And I was like, well, can you take our order at least? Can you just write it down so it'll be ready for us? And he's like, I can't do that. I was like, why can't you do that? So just, you're like, well,
it's too much work.
I was like, you can't just write it down? It's like, oh, I can't. He gave no logical explanation why he couldn't write down an order so it'd be ready.
The computers are down, so he didn't know how to like input it.
His brain is not down. I was like, it would have been so nice. To like already because it's
but
not,
maybe he doesn't know how to use like a pen and paper.
Probably. I was thinking that might be what it was because I'm like,
there's some people that don't know how to do that.
But if he were just to like write it down there, we wouldn't have to go through all this crap about like having to figure, you know, like just say, hey, here's the order, and then I can just pull up and
that's
wait.
What happened when the machines go down.
The machines go down. Pens and paper don't exist.
Yeah, because you know what? The machines rule us.
So like after that debate, I was like, you know, there's those moments where I was like, so you can't write down, sorry. And then he was like, it would take 20. So it's going to take 10 to 20. Should I go somewhere else and then come back? And then he's like, we're not going to tell you what you want to do. You can do whatever you want. I was like, well, I'm going to just stay right here. I got no place to go, man. And at that point, Brian's like sitting in the passenger seat. And I'm telling them, dude, I'm going to memorize this whole entire menu. But because before that, you know, as soon as you get up to a new menu, you're trying to figure out, like, you're just going to get the closest thing, the newest thing that sounds appealing to you, you know, because you feel like you're short on time. But now I'm looking at it, I'm like, I'm going to memorize this whole thing. I'm going to make the right choice.
Did your original choice change?
It did change. It did change in that 20 minutes. I like recorded the time and everything because I shut down my car and it takes 10 minutes for the radio to go off. So I was like, okay, when this radio goes off, they should be ready. They should be on time for that. And I was like, now I'm going to study this whole meal. So now I'm like in this witty, smart ass, intelligent, like I'm going to get down with everything. I'm going to, you know, ready to burn all this shit down and choose the right meal. And I was like, wow, they have a lot of food up here. It was like a Sonic, but it's like not as colorful Sonic.
Mm-hmm.
They had like a lot of milkshakes, a lot of different awesome unbelievable milkshakes.
Sonic like, has like 32
they got 32
flavors.
Yeah, they don't have that many, but you know,
well, not enough.
But like, and also I was looking at it and they had like hot, like foot-long hot dogs.
Sonic has that.
Yeah, they have. That's what I was saying. It's like a Sonic, but like, you know, maybe fine-tuned, because I don't know if Sonic is known for their burgers. You know, but this place had a fine assortment of burgers. They're steak burgers too, so it's not just like beef or whatever burgers are usually. And you know, so I was like gonna take my time. I was like, I'm gonna choose.
I don't know what burgers are made out of.
cow.
But like,
I guess steak is cow too, isn't it?
I don't. They're all cow, right?
All right. Well, there you go. But I was looking at that. I was like, I kept on changing it, and I was pitching these things like, maybe I should get the bacon burger, because at the beginning I was like, oh, I like the western. Anything with a western burger always sounds good to me. I don't know why.
Because there's barbecue sauce.
That's because there's barbecue sauce, and I'm always like, oh, this is what the guys in the out west had.
Yeah, right. I'm sure they burger. Did. I'm always thinking
that's what it is.
Western burger.
I remember
to go.
I remember like in early Roy Rogers used to have like they used to have their Western chicken and stuff like that. Uh-huh. The roaster, and then it used to come like in a cowboy boot, and I was like, this is like Western food. That's what they had back in the
yeah,
day.
Right.
So like whenever I see like Western barbecue burger, I'm like, oh man, that's like I want to get the Western.
I'm gonna
stuff.
Be a real cowboy if I eat this.
Well, why would they say it's a Western burger if it's not something inspired by the West?
Because it just says barbecue sauce, Joe.
Is that all that Western burger? Is that all the West did? I don't even think in the Wild West that they had barbecue sauce.
Probably not. Hey, I was doing some deeper research on Dr. Pepper, because for some reason now I'm like interested in the history of Dr. Pepper.
Well, we know it's not from Roanoke then, right?
Well, you know what? I did find out deep in the heart of Africa, inside the Wikipedia.
In Africa?
No, that's like that Mervis diamond jeweler ad, remember? Okay, well anyway, so apparently people are trying to figure out where the actual name of Dr. Pepper came from, or if Dr. Pepper exists. Well, they have a couple candidates from actual Virginia, and I don't know where in Virginia or how close it is to Roanoke, but one is Dr. Charles T. Pepper of Rural Retreat, Virginia. So, it gets really into it. It says, who may have been so honored by Morrison for even having granted him permission to marry Dr. Pepper's daughter, or in gratitude to Pepper giving Morrison to his first job.
What does any of that mean?
I don't know. It's like a connection to this guy named Morrison who I guess invented Dr. Pepper, but he lived 50 miles from Rural Retreat, Virginia. So that's one possibility. And another possibility.
Where's that Rural Retreat, Virginia?
I don't know. Another possibility is Dr. Pepper of Christiansburg, Virginia.
Christiansburg is over there, is in that area.
So there you go.
I did see a sign for Christiansburg.
That could be him. So the U.S. Census records show a young Morrison working at a pharmacy clerk, working as a pharmacy clerk in Christiansburg. One of the following pages of the census supposedly shows a Dr. Pepper and daughter, age 16. Since census takers of the period were walking door to door and their census entries were on the following pages, it seems that Morrison and the family of Dr. Pepper did not live very far from each other. Oh, maybe there is a connection.
What does that really mean?
It just means that the guy who, I guess one of the inventors of Dr. Pepper has some Virginia roots.
Okay, I guess that makes
sense.
And
then they were trying to find out who named it Dr. Pepper. Because some people are saying, oh, it's because it gives you pep. You know, so it's the Dr. Pepper. And then some people are like, well, it's actually named after someone who is a Dr. Pepper. And apparently there's two Dr. Peppers in Virginia from that time period.
I guess that makes sense.
So, but I don't know which, you know, but if Christianville, it's Christianville, right?
Berg.
Oh, Christiansburg. If Christiansburg is from around that area, maybe they have some legend of Dr. Pepper from around there, and that drink is prominent.
Maybe. Well, you know, it's funny because like when it came time to choose like the drink, mm-hmm. I end up getting like a jalapeno burger. I don't know.
Oh, you didn't get your cowboy burger?
No, I was like, there was a mushroom Swiss, the Western burger, but then of course it's the same thing as anything. I was like, oh, there's bacon in it. Maybe I shouldn't get it.
Oh God.
There's always there's
bacon.
Yeah,
I know. I feel like the bacon always kind of ruins the Western burgers, but I understand why it's there.
But like, so I was like, oh, jalapeno burger, it's good. And I got a milkshake. Milkshake was absolutely amazing. But then when it came time to get a drink, I was like, should I get a Dr. Pepper or a root beer? And damn, did that root beer win.
The root beer always wins.
The root beer always wins. It just always wins.
So you actually got a root beer and a caramel milkshake.
And a milkshake. Because we're just like, well, might as well. What are we going to...
And then here you were looking for healthy food.
Here we were looking for just not... I don't know if we were looking for healthy food. We just wanted something just that wasn't like normal fast food.
But what you ate was pretty much like a level up from that.
But it was still... at least it was something we haven't experienced before. I think that was the main thing.
It wasn't like a McDonald's that everyone's already been through.
We wanted to do something. We wanted to see something that was like...
I guess you get a point for that, but it's still like just a step up from...
Yeah, so that was the last time I ever had that. And then I mean, so on our off time, Brian and I were trying to experience things that are like of the town, you know what I mean? Stuff like that.
So what'd you find?
I mean, at the end of the day, near our hotel, he was like, I want to go to, what was it like? There's this like wilderness store, a big wilderness store, like Gander.
Gander?
A big Gander store.
Gandalf?
No, like Gander. And basically we just end up like, you know, it's like a wildlife. Like a camping.
Like is camping it like a area. JT Hudson's Outfitters or something?
Like it's like a you know like a like bass a, shop,
but like an REI.
I don't. It's more. Well, really, what the reason why he wanted to go there is so we can go and look at guns.
Oh, okay.
Because it's like you can buy guns and ammunition, and they have like a whole entire big section of that.
I guess that's what they do there.
So we just end up looking at guns.
That's you know what you guys should have done since you guys need food. You should have gotten a gun and then hunt your own food.
It's true.
And cooked it.
Those are the options that we take in our daily life.
I think that that's what you guys should have done. Gone out with guns at 11:30 at night trying to shoot animals.
But it was an interesting time because, yeah, we were looking at guns. I went and experienced like the music store. I was like, well, I'm going to check out their... You know, there's two things I always got to check out in any new town. Is like their comic book store, you know.
Do they have a comic book
store? They do have a comic... They have like one. It felt like they had just one.
I mean, I feel like a town like that might only have one.
And the reason
even
why,
if they have one, that's kind of like amazing that they actually have one.
Well, I mean, it was subpar. But at the end of the day, you know, I found the heavy metal that was done by that Grant Morrison was the editor of. But also, it was the comic book store was shaped as a cabin. I was like, I want to go to the one that's shaped like a cabin,
like a log cabin.
Yeah, like a log cabin. I was like, okay, let's go to that one. I took a picture of it. And then after that, another thing that I did not expect to happen at in Roanoke was when we went to the downtown area that was near the studio that was our meeting area, was the FBI was there and they were shutting down power in the block, like if it was the movie Die Hard or something like that.
Why were they shutting down the power?
I think something exploded.
Oh god.
Something exploded underneath like one of the major bank buildings. There's a lot of big bank buildings there. And so when Brian and I were walking around, it was like the big talk of the town, like because like they had all these fire engines everywhere, were like closing down streets, and you can see everyone who's walking by on their phone or to each other was talking about that one thing, like that's the one thing that's happening in town. Everyone's just like, oh yeah, something happened this morning. Like there was like this big thing that everyone was talking about. It was amazing actually to be like, wow, everyone's just talking about one thing. Like you can hear
that's
them talking about.
That's actually pretty cool. Like it's like.
And taking photos, you know, of like trucks and stuff.
An event happened.
Yeah. And like the FBI was there. It felt like to me, it almost felt like that moment in when the big trucks come in for Super 8. When they think the monster is there.
Yeah.
I was like, it sort of felt like that because everyone's like looking out their window. People are looking sad.
Wow.
So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Did they ever figure out what happened?
Yeah, something exploded.
So something exploded underneath a bank.
Yeah.
Was somebody trying to rob it?
I don't know. All I know is like everyone's like they're shutting the power down in 30 minutes, so we gotta get out of here.
Oh my god.
I was like, wow.
Scary.
I was like, there's something. I was like, something big is happening, man. And Brian and I are just walking the streets. Just and it's not the downtown's not really that huge. It's like literally like four blocks. And then and then the FBI is like kind of shutting down like pretty much half of it. They're like, all right. So we end up walking in their art museum, and it was wild. You know, it was cool. They had one floor.
Hmm.
That was cool. And there you go. There's my life, ladies and gentlemen. And then after that, Joe on set. Yeah. And then after that, drove back up here, did the Arlington, was on the Picture Lock show, and then drove down to Tidewater for the Tidewater Comic Con. Now we're back here.
I know. I feel like you had such a whirlwind week. Yeah, Virginia Beach was really exciting, now we're back, and now we finally was able to fit in a new episode of Carolyn and Joe Show. So thanks so much for everybody for tuning in at this very moment and for making it through the whole show with us. We hope you had a great time.
I hope you enjoyed all those stories. This show is brought to you by Stray Production and StrayProductions.com. Check out my work at JoeCarabello. MondayMistress.com. Also, go straight on Tumblr. All the news you want to know, MondayMistress.com. Also, Carolyn has a comic strip called Curls. Check it out at curls-studio.com/curls.
I also have a website.
Website, CarolynBilewski.com.
Yeah.
Check us out, CarolynJoeShow.com. Astray J, at Astray J. Instagram, Twitter, at Carolyn Bilewski. On everything. That's it, guys. That's it. We're getting ready. We're getting ready. You guys are going to get some entertainment. Of course, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Be excellent to each other. Let them know, Carolyn.
You're bona fide.